kind of things. And we may be needing flood damage here in a couple of so we may have an earlier one for that. Next Sunday morning is the United Methodist Men and Women's Breakfast. So we invite you and anybody that you would like to invite to come and join us for that. And there is a new calendar up for the altar flowers. If you are a visitor with us, we are really glad that you are here. You can find us on Facebook, and you can also connect with us on the web. We have a little glitch going on. Microsoft decided that nobody does anything on Sunday morning, and so they're updating their system this morning. So there are hymnals in the pews. If you don't have a hymnal, you may want to grab one. You might need those this morning. And I believe that everything else is printed. So we may or we may not ever have video this morning. So with that, let's prepare our hearts for worship. God, we give you thanks for this day. We ask that you be with us. We know that you are the light of the world, and we celebrate. We celebrate this time of this season, Lord, knowing that it is the beginning of our liturgical year, that as we look forward We look forward, Lord, to your ministry and the accomplishment of the cross. Be with us as we gather together, as we worship you. We know that you have the power to set us free, and it is the good news of the gospel. So we pray this, trusting in you in all things, in Jesus' name, amen. Call to worship as it's in your bulletin. Sing praise to God with grateful hearts full of joy.
Let heaven and earth rejoice.
Dwell in Christ's word of wisdom and truth.
Praise Jesus for the path of life.
Our hymn is number 238.
Thank you.
good news. Christ was born to us, a Savior born. May you turn and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbors. We invite the children to come forward for the children's time as we sing Jesus Loves Me.
How many of you either play a sport or have a bigger brother and sister who plays a sport? Most of you do. Being from the northeastern part of the country originally, where soccer was pretty popular, I was very interested when the woman played in the World Cup last summer. And during that time, I watched every game, and during that time, I was waiting in the doctor's office. I picked up a copy of an ESPN magazine, and there was an interview with the USA's goalie, Hope Solo. And one of the things she mentioned in the interview, she said, every time the goaltender has to make a save, it's because at least two other people messed up and didn't do what they were supposed to do. And, you know, I got to thinking, that's kind of Jesus is like a goaltender, because when we mess up and do what we're not, don't do what we're supposed to do, or even do what we're not supposed to do, Jesus is there always to catch us and save us. And the good thing about it is not only will he catch and save you when you're trying and do the wrong thing, but he's even there to help you out when you know you've done the wrong thing, when you've been bad. So that's the nice thing about Jesus. Think of him as your goaltender. You maybe say something you shouldn't have said to somebody, or don't help somebody out, or maybe you're tempted to swipe something that doesn't belong to you. Just remember, Jesus is always there to catch you. Okay, Emily, take the microphone around.
Let's have a prayer with the kids. Will you bow your heads? Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning and for these young children and for being our goalkeeper. We thank you for the adults who help us out and to lead us and to teach us. And we just give thanks in your name. Amen.
I got stuff.
Can't forget the suckers.
Somebody else in your family doesn't have to be a family.
you go. I apologize. This was supposed to have been during announcements. We are having choir practice, senior choir practice, this Wednesday night at 6:30.
So that's choir practice this Wednesday night. Wait a minute, Mr. Miller.
Tomorrow is Deb's birthday.
Oh. Happy birthday, Deb.
Well, we're very happy to have April home, and we're very happy to have Skype because we got to spend Christmas morning with the kids over in Japan.
Oh,
so that
cool.
was really nice. And also, Randy has a birthday the same day as Deb does.
I have another announcement. The offering envelopes are out in the vestibule. If you do not see your name and would like envelopes, please let us know. And then also, if you see envelopes and you do not need them, just leave them there and we'll take them back. And I'd also like to announce that Matthew turned 8 this past Tuesday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I know we're kind of light here today, but I did want to make sure that people knew all of my begging for singers for caroling. I really, really want to thank this church because we had at least 35 people caroling with the Village Ministry Center, the nursing home, even with the storms, and the bulk of them were from here. So I thank my church for not making me sing to the nursing home residents by myself, which would not have been a good experience for either of us. And so I just really appreciated our church and, you know, was very thankful for them last Wednesday before Christmas.
It is a blessing, and I know they loved it. It made a big difference for them. Any others? Go ahead, Marie.
I just want to say it's nice to have my sister home with me, and her birthday was on Christmas.
Oh, happy birthday. Today is my grandson Robert's birthday also, so there's birthdays. And I would ask that you would keep my brother-in-law. We found out last week that he has cancer. And so if we could keep my brother-in-law in your prayers. Any others? From back here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you. Heavenly and gracious God, we are so grateful for all of the ways you come to us, all the blessings that you give to us, all the things, Lord, that we can't even count, the multitude of ways that you care for us. We thank you, Lord, for your precious gift of your Son that came to us to be one of us, that he would live and experience the things that we experience every day, and that he would lead the way to a better life, that he would liberate us from all the chains that hold us, that he would call us to be better people, that he would model for us how to love one another, how to be better than we are, and how to strive to live in harmony and in peace with one another and with all creation as you intended us to be, O Heavenly Father. And in so many things, we give you blessings and praises. We lift up birthdays that are abundant, and we are so grateful for birthdays this time of year, Lord, and for those that we love, and ask that you give them special care this morning and just to love them and care for them. Lord, we also lift up the praises that you give us, that you have provided a way for us to see our family around the world. Who would have ever guessed, oh Lord, that we could communicate with each other in that way? And so you find ways to bring families together, especially as we put you at the center of our gathering. May we never forget, Lord, may we never forget that this is about you. It's not about Santa, it's not about presents, it's not even about family, but about you. And we ask that you help us to keep that in the forefront of our thoughts during this Christmas season. And we pray, O gracious God, for those places that are still on our hearts. We still have homes that were broken into, and families who didn't celebrate Christmas, who couldn't celebrate Christmas in the ways that we, that most of us get to. There are places around the world, Lord, that are still suffering from poverty and disease and war. And we are all still at risk, Lord, from violence and oppression and folks that would like to take away our freedoms and to impose their own beliefs on us. We are people who believe in religious freedom, Lord, and that you are our God who believes in religious freedom. You allow us to choose. You give us free will, and we give you thanks for that. Lord, we ask that you be with the families of Madge and Dean, that you would surround them in your love, that you would lift them up, that we would keep shining the light of hope into the future that is so hard for us to see as we grieve and as we mourn. Be with all those who still struggle from health issues. We continue, Lord, to pray. We pray for Kathy and for Bev and for Kevin, for all those who suffer from cancer. We pray for those in our nursing homes, that they may not be lonely and alone, but know that you are there, and help us to be present with them, O gracious God. All of these things we treasure. And we just ask that you would just hear the prayers of our hearts as we give you thanks for this Christmas season. Through you, O Lord, we are offered direct access to God. And you taught us to pray as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the affirmation of faith that is, we have the first Noel, which is number 245, but let's do verses 1 through 4. Will you stand as you're able? Amen. You may be seated. Would you join me in the affirmation of faith? There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all and to whom we witness and testify. To save sinners,
and was manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among nations, believed throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
Our reading comes to us, our first reading, the New Testament, comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may remain seated for this one, and as we sing Good Christian Friends Rejoice, which is number 224. God gave us the greatest gift we could have ever given, and in return, we give back to God what was already his. May I have the ushers come forward, please. as you're able. Holy One from heaven, we thank you for the amazing gifts you give to us, love and kindness, mercy and grace, abilities and strengths, talents and tools, even our material wealth. Receive these gifts with return to you. Receive also our willing hearts, ready to answer your call and to live in your love. Bless these gifts and bless us as we give ourselves, even as you bless those who receive our offering. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And if you would remain standing for the reading of our gospel. It is Luke 2:41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed that he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this thing to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them, and his mother stored these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and all of God's people. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. And the people of God said, Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly gracious God, Lord, we don't assume anything. We don't know anything. We come to you to learn, that you might tell us and teach us, that you might lead us and guide us. And we pray a blessing on these words, that they may be a lesson for us this morning. Amen. I was doing my research for this sermon this morning, and I came across a journal in the American Medical Association that was published, that had published an article by somebody I'd never heard of before. His name was Dr. Paul Ruskin, on the stages of aging. In the article, he described a case study that he was doing for his class, for his students, and that he'd been preparing, and he described the case study patient like this. He said, the patient neither speaks nor comprehends the spoken word. Sometimes she babbles incoherently for hours on end. She's disoriented about person and place and time. She does, however, respond to her name. I have worked with her for the past 6 months, but she still shows complete disregard for her physical appearance and makes no effort at all to assist her own care. She must be fed and bathed and clothed and washed by others. Because she has no teeth, her food must be pureed. Her shirt is usually soiled from almost incessant drooling. She neither walks nor sleeps well. Her sleep patterns are erratic at best. She often wakes in the middle of the night and her screaming awakens others. And most of the time she is friendly and happy, but there are times and periods where she gets quite agitated without any apparent cause. And then she will complain and wail until she's comforted. After presenting the class, he said, with this case study, he asked who would among them would help him care for this patient as he worked on this. And no one, not a soul, raised their hand. And he said to them, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that not one of you has volunteered to help out with this patient. He said, because quite frankly, she's one of my favorite patients. I get immense pleasure in taking care of her. He said, I am learning so much from her. She has taught me a depth of gratitude that I had never, ever experienced or known before. She has taught me of the spirit of unwavering truth and trust. She has taught me the power of unconditional love. And then he said, let me show you a picture. And he projected on the screen the picture of his six-month-old baby granddaughter. See, now I like that story. I like that story for a couple of reasons. I like the twist at the end because I didn't see it coming when I first read it. It shows us the importance of perspective. That it is all about perspective, and it shows us how essential it is to have all of the facts before we really make a decision. It reminds us, too, that our own children have so much to teach us if we would just tune in and pay attention to them. But it also reminds me of the dramatic scene in this gospel, the gospel where Jesus lingers behind in Jerusalem as a 12-year-old boy, and he gets separated from his parents for 3 days. We can relate to that in this day and age, in a day where when children go missing on a regular basis, and there's so much of that going around in corruption. But eventually they find him in the temple discussing theology with the rabbis. And I wonder why this text about a rebellious little child would have been included by Dr. Luke in his gospel. What was it about it that he felt was important to keep in and to have included that would teach us about Jesus? Well, I believe it shows us first that Jesus began kicking at the goads and bucking the system at a very early age. Just imagine the scene, if you will. Jesus and his family, they travel to Jerusalem at Passover. And they travel with their family and the neighborhood and the friends. It is the same celebration that Jesus would return to every year for the rest of his life, and had every year up until then, since his birth. It was here that his life would end. Now, in those days, almost everyone from the cities would have been traveling to Jerusalem. We know that crowds gathered every year for the Passover celebration. When the festival was over, it was likely that Joseph and Mary would have been traveling home in a large group as well. Jesus, as a young man, Luke tells us that he was 12 years old at the time. And in those days, you know, we think of a 12-year-old as a child, but in those days, 12-year-olds had a tremendous amount of responsibility. They were considered young men. By this time, he would have known Hebrew or been learning the Hebrew. He would have been reading the scriptures. He would have been helping with his father to earn money for the family. He would have had some of the Torah memorized by then. So Mary and Joseph would have given him a lot of leeway. They wouldn't have seen him as a child, as much as a young man. And so it wouldn't have been uncommon for boys to travel together in the group as they returned either to Jerusalem or back to their homes where they had come from. And so it was likely they thought that he was traveling with his companions, with his friends. And it's texts like these that remind us of how fully human Jesus really was. It is amazing to us that Jesus was, even in those days, so susceptible to our own experiences and our own condition. After the day's journey, Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus, when they went to look for him, wasn't there, and they began to get worried. They began to go and search for him among their friends. They began to ask if anybody had seen Jesus, and not finding him, they knew they had to return to Jerusalem to see if he was there. After 3 days passed, they found him in the temple, and he was sitting with the teachers. He thought that they would know that he would be doing exactly what they had taught him to do, and that was to be a very deep person of faith, a devout student. And of course, this story is also a foreshadowing. It is a reminder that Jesus came into the world to be Savior of the world. It's one of the mysteries of faith, that Jesus came to us from the Father, and he is both fully human and fully divine. We see how hard it is for those two essences, the humanness of Jesus and the divinity, to live together, to be cohesive in one way or another. So Jesus is a child in size and in age and in aptitude, and yet he is fully God. Clearly Jesus was human enough to be afraid, to feel pain, to be in danger, and yet there was no indication in all of the Gospels that he was ever afraid, that he ever experienced fear. And so it's natural that he would just leave his parents and stay in the place where he felt that it was important for him to be. But I think we miss a lot when we start looking at Jesus in this story and try and find the lesson from him. Instead, I don't know about you, but I can find a lot more importance by looking at it from the perspective of Mary and Joseph, who are just a little more human. And their story is, I can see from their perspective, as a perspective of a parent. And as we talked about, that perspective makes all of the difference in the world. So what does it say to us from the human side of the equation? Well, Mary and Joseph were the first humans to really have Jesus. I mean, by that I mean that from the moment of his conception, Mary and Joseph knew that he would be the Messiah. They were told from the very early on that he would be the Savior of the world. Before that, there had only been the promise. But from that point on, even though they found it hard to grasp, they had Jesus. They had the Messiah. They had the most intimate relationship possible that between humans and parents, between humans, of that of parent and child. And I wonder what it was like for Mary and Joseph to have this baby that they knew would someday, or at least had been told would someday be the Savior. I wonder, they must have known his passions. They must have known what he really liked. They must have known how he learned. They must have known who his friends were. And I started thinking about it as a parent. You know, I have one daughter. When she was born, she was about, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks old, and she started talking. I swear, that child talked from the minute she was born, and she never stopped since. She's still, my husband will say, I am so glad to get over here and spend some time with you, because I can't, it's just constant, I'm so tired of her just talking at me. And she would tell us as a young kid, we knew everything was going on in her life. We knew about her teachers. We knew her teachers' personal lives. We knew her friends' parents' personal lives, and all of that. But boys are different. We also have two boys, and I will tell you that there are different. It was like pulling teeth to get to find out anything about them. Even recently, I got to laughing that my son Matt has a girlfriend. We're kind of shocked to find out he'd had a girlfriend for about 6 months before we ever knew about it, and it was months later before he ever let us meet her. And even then, it took a lot for him. He still doesn't talk much about it. And I wonder if that was what it was like for Mary and Joseph. Did they have to pull teeth to find out about Jesus? Did they have to wonder so much about what it was going on in his head? The point is, though, that they had him. They had him in everyday life, everyday routine things of life. And we have Jesus, too. Jesus, in dying on the cross, offered himself for us that we would know him and that he would be accessible to all of us, to any one of us. That is the part of the good news of the gospel that we celebrate this time of year, that God is Emmanuel, God with us. No one needs to be without a Savior. We have Jesus every day of our life. And in everyday life, there's no place that we can go where Jesus doesn't go with us. As long as we invite Jesus in, Jesus is there. Whether we are eating a bowl of cereal, going to work, or sleeping, we even have him at the very end of our life. As you know, tomorrow we'll celebrate the passing of two beloved people in this community, of Madge and Dean. And even as Madge and Dean walked through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus whispered to them, I am with you. But the text tells us this morning that Mary and Joseph then lost Jesus. They'd been at the festival, which was part of work, it was part of an obligation, and it was part celebration. Sounds a little familiar about what we've done this week. Christmas sometimes can be a little work, a little celebration, and a little obligation. And like all the other families, they packed up when it was over and returned home. In the commotion and the lack of attention, they lost Jesus. That's what happens to too many of us today. We get wrapped up in the world. We get wrapped up in the commotion and our responsibilities and the pressures of everyday life. And we lose Jesus. He gets pushed to the side. He gets forgotten and shoved into the cubbyholes that we put and save for Sunday mornings. And for aghast as we are that parents could go and leave their child, a 12-year-old, alone, because they neglected their duty as parents, we do the same thing to Jesus as well. We can lose touch with Jesus through our neglect of duty, whether it's our prayer, our regular prayer life, our devotion, our singing praises together, our reading the scripture, or our corporate worship. If we lose our focus on Jesus, we tend to leave and go on without him. And finally, Mary and Joseph went and looked for Jesus among their friends. When they realized that he wasn't with the friends and with the immediate family, They went to find him. They went to look among the friends, but he was not there. It just about breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that panic that sets in when you realize that your child isn't in any of the safe places that you thought that they might be and can't be found among your friends and your family. How even sadder when we have, like Mary and Joseph, left Jesus behind and can't find anyone of our friends and family to show us the way. It is heart-wrenching every year at Christmas as I see those who have lost Jesus but haven't realized it yet, and those who have realized it but don't even try to go looking. And there are others who go looking but can't find enough friends or family who have Jesus that can help point the way, that can help redirect them, who will show them the way to Jesus. So here's our take home this morning. Here's our take home. Those of us who know Jesus, who have Jesus in our lives, be careful. Be careful. It's really easy. Guard that relationship. It's easy to get busy and to leave and not bring Jesus with you. And if you do, it's easy. It's hard for us to go back and to look for him. And if we go back and look for him, let's be the folks. Let's be the folks with whom Jesus can be found. Do you remember the credit card commercial? Don't leave home without it. It's like, don't leave home without him. If you discovered that you might have left Jesus behind, take heart. You will find him in your Father's house and in your Father's word. Read your Bibles. Pray. Love one another. Be engaged in your community. Extend grace and mercy and justice in all of those places. And you will find him. He will be there. And finally, be that person. Be that person that can lead others to finding Jesus. There is a world full of folks searching for meaning and truth that can only be found in a relationship with Christ. Let them find him in you. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 251. I would invite you to stand for Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Thank you.
Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it among the people. Hallelujah! To us a Savior is born. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.